You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink. Wherever you can think of giving someone advice or taking advice, it applies. It's what you do with it.
So, you know, you're setting this boundary for this person. Would you set this boundary for yourself? You say your partner is not allowed to do this thing. Okay, what about when you do it? Okay, I've caught you doing it. What now?
Keep the same energy when the roles are reversed.
And I remember moments where, you know, mutually we're disagreeing with someone. We arrive at this point in the argument where we're like, we need to step away from this now because we've given this person all of the information to give the decision, to make a decision. They now just need to use it or they don't.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a matter of dropping the pride or the ego.
Yes.
The only reason why, 9 times out of 10, I know in certain scenarios I've been in with certain people, they've not taken the advice on board is because, oh, I can do it better. Oh, this person doesn't know what they're talking about. I've told you. And then they come back a month, 2 months, 3 months later, and they're like, ah, you know what? What you said made so much sense. I've tried it and it worked. I'm like, ah, I'm glad you did. Welcome back, everyone, to Teddy Talks. Thank you very much for joining us again. My name is Teddy Suarez. I'm joined by my brother, Sydney Suarez.
Yes.
Yes. Woo. And today we're very, very excited for this episode. But Sydney, let's start with asking you, how are you? Every single episode, everyone will notice, I always ask you how you are. So how are you?
I'm going to ask you. How are you?
Flip it on me. How am I? I'm feeling good, as you can tell. I have had a whole month of January pretty much hibernating. And I would say also the beginning of February as well has been hibernation.
Why are you hibernating?
Why am I hibernating? It's because I am in a mode right now of focusing on myself. The timeline I gave myself was London Fashion Week. I thought, okay, London Fashion Week, that's when I'm kind of, you know, I'm going to be outside again.
Why are you focusing on yourself? Why are you
Do you know what? It's one of those things when you reflect on, I think I spoke about this on one of the previous episodes, or I may not have delved into it that deeply, but every single end of a year / the beginning of a year, I always like to, you know, critique myself. I always like to look at myself in the mirror. Where am I at right now? Have I been going gym enough? Have I been taking care of my mind enough? Have I been seeing my family, friends on a spiritual level? Have I also been connecting with God that much in 2023? So all these things make up who I am and where I'm at. So they're like measures, and I'd probably say foundationary measures as well. And I'm kind of up to scratch on most of those things. So I'd probably say I'm 80% of where I'd like to be at the start of the year. The rest of the 20%, it's always good to have that room to improve and have that room to kind of wriggle. But yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm very well, thank you. And you know, I'm happy to hear that, you know, you're in good spirits and you're 80% of the way there. I actually believe you're much higher than that. You're just putting yourself down. You're doing really
thank
well.
Thank you for the flowers, my
and,
bro.
You know,
appreciate
give yourself
that.
A pat on the back for showing up every week so far on Teddy Talks and helping the audience connect with you more and, you know, putting out good messages into the world.
Thank you
so
very
today,
much.
What is the topic? What are we going to get stuck into and why are we here today?
So today we are looking to do do's and don'ts. It's like a do's and don'ts theme, and that's pretty much related to all aspects of life. So that is relationships, work, and I mean work in terms of whether or not you are self-employed, you are employed, or you have your own business. Every single aspect of work is what we're talking about today. Relationships, I think I said that already. Relationships also not just from a partnership point of view, but also from a family sense as well. And have I missed anything?
Friendships,
that's the one. Friendships as well. So relationships from a family, friendship, and partnership point of view.
Did you have a quote to kickstart our discussion?
This is one that resonates with me. It's resonated with me from for a very, very long time, actually. And I don't know whether or not we have mentioned this quote before, or we've mentioned it maybe in one of like our Instagram stories or something, but you might know this one. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink. That's one of our favorite quotes. Someone would say that it came from Portugal. Someone would say it came from Brazil. I just want to say that it's a quote that's always stuck with us, even from delivering a lesson, taking on lessons. It applies to every aspect of life. I don't know if you'd agree with me or not, but it's kind of wherever you can think of giving someone advice or taking advice, it applies. It's what you do with it. Are you going to actually take the advice on board? Are you going to take the advice on board, make it your own based off who you are as an individual? But that's always been a powerful quote that's resonated with throughout our entire family and friendship group.
Yeah, I really like that quote. And we do relate to it a lot. You know, I remember moments where, you know, we might be disagreeing with someone, you know, mutually we're disagreeing with someone. And, you know, we arrive at this point in the argument where we're like, we need to step away from this now because we've given this person all of the information to give the decision. To make a decision. They now just need to use it or they don't.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a matter of dropping the pride or the ego.
Yes.
The only reason why 9 times out of 10, I know in certain scenarios I've been in with certain people, they've not taken the advice on board is because, oh, I can do it better. Oh, this person doesn't know what they're talking about. It's like, all right, I've told you. And then they come back a month, 2 months, 3 months later, and they're like, ah, you know what? What you said made so much sense. I've tried it, and it worked. I'm like, ah, I'm glad you did more than anything. It's not like an I told you so. It's always a, I think that's the important thing. Some people deliver advice, and they expect the advice to be taken straight away, or they expect it to be received with open arms. But I think depending on what your intentions are for the advice that you're giving, give the advice. Whatever that person does with it, it is what they want to do with it. And that's why I also love that quote, because it's not just about, oh, let me take the horse to the water and make that horse drink. It's giving that person the freedom to do whatever the hell they want, as opposed to, oh, I've given this person advice. I'm the person that's got all the enlightenment in the world. So it means that whoever I'm delivering
the advice from
anyone. Yeah, 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 exactly.
The horse needs to be thirsty.
The horse needs to be thirsty. The horse needs to feel as though that they want to be hydrated. Sometimes you're just not that hungry. Sometimes you're not just that, you know, you've had your fill of food. And I want to just give that a bit more context. Like sometimes you might just be a director of a company and you're good at that level. Sometimes you don't want to own your own company. Sometimes you have got a family and you're good within your own comfort zone. Sometimes you don't feel like I need to take that person's advice because I'm good where I'm at. I always equate it to whether or not you feel as though you can sleep at night or not. Like if you feel as though, oh, I can't sleep because I'm itching to improve, I'm itching to do this, I'm itching to earn more money, I'm itching to get a promotion, I'm itching to, you know, fulfill this next chapter in my life. Someone's giving you advice around that, but you've not taken it. That's when I'm like, well, why? I'm also, I'm speaking to myself. I'm like, why haven't I jumped on that? Sometimes my management has given me some great advice because this is a new world for me. I'm like, I've said I want to do X, Y, Z. Well, why didn't I jump on that? Why didn't I actually take the actionable steps to do what they said? And hopefully I reap the rewards of it.
Why is that people don't drink from the water when you take them to drink?
Have you seen that clip on Instagram? I think it's viral, and there's a clip of a antelope drinking water, and the antelope is drinking water whilst also scrutinizing what's going on around them. And then seconds later, as the antelope is drinking water, a tiger comes and it tries to eat the antelope, and the antelope literally goes one way, goes the other way, and then drops, manages the to get... It drops the...
Does the Messi.
It literally does the Messi, depending on who you support, Messi, Ronaldo, whatever.
I do Ronaldo as well.
No, Messi for me, bro.
Okay.
I should say, okay. But yes, and then it gets away. So it's like... It's some people do that. They take a drink, they sit, they look around. Is this safe? They sit. It's the caution, it's the fear, it's the, I don't know whether or not I want to go all the way in. And that's where I was getting at with that reel. It's like, there's different levels to what that antelope was doing. It's like, first, I'm going to look around before I even take a sip and find out whether or not this water is going to hydrate me or not. Before I get eaten by either an alligator or I get eaten by a tiger. All right, there's no one around. I'm going to carry on sipping. This water tastes good. Yeah. This water is quenching my thirst. Mm. And then it gets to the point where it's like, oh shit, there's danger around me. I need to dip. But in the interest of our life, in the interest of day to day, like it's dip your toe in the water. See what it's like to actually do something you've never experienced before. For the most part, the only reason why people don't even take the plunge is because I believe it's the fear. I can only talk on my own experiences. For a lot of the things that I've always said, I'm not going to interview for this, or I'm not going to, you know, especially where I'm at right now. I'm for the past 2 years, I've wanted to do acting lessons. I've still not done it. I've wanted to learn how to swim. I've still not done it. But for those two things, if I'm being real with myself, it's the fear of trying something new. It's the fear of, I don't know whether or not I'm going to be that great at swimming. I don't know whether or not I'm going to be that great at trying to act or whatever. So
I also think sometimes it's the reason why the horse doesn't drink from the river when you've taken the horse to the river and the horse still decides that he doesn't want to sip of the water. I think the reason why the horse refuses to drink is because they haven't accepted the person who has taken them to the river.
So that's a good point.
The messaging is not landing.
Mm.
Because the person who is communicating the messaging is not being respected.
Mm.
Maybe they don't respect this person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't have the authority in that person's eyes. You know, if I get told by you know, my mom to take paracetamol right now because I've got a toothache. And I'm like, I'm the dog's bollocks. Are you mad? Your mom might call you.
Mm.
But if the doctor called you and told you this problem that you're dealing with in your kidneys, this pain is going to put you through some more shit if you don't start taking your meds. So take your meds. Now, if that's coming from your mum, you're like, oh, yes. But if it's coming from a doctor,
an expert knows, yeah.
Now I'm ready to drink from the water.
Do you think that's always the case?
It's not always the case. But for some people, there's a reason why they are not ready in that moment. Maybe it's because it's the person who's delivering the message. Maybe it's because the set of experiences that they've had until that point does not allow them to receive the message.
Hmm.
Okay. Let's strip things back. Imagine me. I've come from a sales background. Imagine I come into, you know, a huge blue chip company and I'm a sales associate. My history is a sales associate. I've got, you know, loads of experience as a sales associate, but I've lied on my CV and said that, you know, I've got experience that allows me to manage teams. I'm actually a director of sales, in fact.
Right? It's going to go west.
You know, and I've talked myself up. Now, you know, I managed to get the job. But doing the job is another thing. But being able to do the job is a completely different kettle of fish.
Mm.
So, you know, I can talk the talk and say, yo, look, give me this job because I'm ready and I've got all the experience. But when push comes to shove, and it's time to walk through that door, I'm not going to walk through it because I don't have the experience to be a sales. I know if I walk through that door and I become, if you tell me I'm going to be a sales director tomorrow, not me personally, because that's different. I'm saying if you tell me, who has got loads of experience as a sales associate, and I've lied to you and I'm going to be a sales director, if you give me that job, what am I really going to achieve in life? I'm probably going to make this company go to pot. I'm probably going to make it fail. I'm probably going to make it crash. I'm probably going to make the sales decline because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do with the marketing channels. I don't know much about managing a pipeline. I don't know much about troubleshooting conversion rates. I don't know much about funnels.
So I want to ask you a question, just sorry to cut you off. Mm. But so in that moment where you've broken the trust of said company, where you've broken the trust of the people around you, what would you do at that point? What's the go-to thing? Because, you know, people are then, they've hired you, they've relied on you for the best part of, let's say, 2 months. Your probation is 6 months. For a 2 month period, you haven't necessarily performed the way that you would have liked to. And let's strip away the dishonesty. Let's pretend that you've gone into the job and you are someone that was fully qualified for that job, but it hasn't quite worked out because, all right, for a better example, rather than saying that this person's been dishonest, we've gone into one sector as a project manager and into a different sector as a project manager, but you have the same qualifications as either sector, needs or requires, but obviously it's a different industry, so you don't necessarily understand the same nuances of what it means to be in a manufacturing company than it would to be in a digital company, let's say. So for the first 2 months, it hasn't quite worked out. How do you then build that trust within that team? Or is your view that it's completely gone to pot and, you know, find a new job kind of thing?
It depends on the scope of the work that needs to be done. You know, if I'm coming into a new role in a completely different industry, but the role itself is similar, there needs to be a grace period for me to catch up on industry.
Yeah, six
knowledge.
Months. Six yeah. months. Most right. most probationary yeah. periods are six
I,
months,
I
right?
I think that's a given. But seeing as we are on the topics of do's and don'ts, you know, there are certain things that you can be doing to enable your success, and there's certain things that you shouldn't be doing, like showing up late when you're meant to be.
Shit, you can't say that. We were late today.
You were late today. We were late today.
Yeah, but showing up late.
But that's
yeah,
not
you're
something
right.
you should do. It's not professional. You know, it's showing that you don't care. Your time management's on point. Your priorities are not in the right place. There's a reason why you show up on time. You can't make the horse do that. The horse needs to be willing to be thirsty enough to show up on time, right?
Mm.
I want to take things on a tangent. We'll come back to the working environment and also talk about the do's and don'ts in dating.
Mm.
And we were laughing off camera earlier about a do's and don't with dating, and it was about a question on, would you make yourself look a lot richer than you actually are to impress a girl?
Let's give the actual example. So the actual example that we asked ourselves was, would you hire a car on a date to go and pick up a girl or not?
Of course not.
You wouldn't, yeah?
No.
Yeah, good. I'd like to, bro.
No, of course
I'm glad, because at the end of the day, you could turn around and it could be a situation where 6 months down the line, where's the car that you picked me up in? But now we're in a situation where you need to convince her that the car hasn't been in service for 6 months, and she's like,
it's a mess. It's a mess. It's an expensive mess. One, you're betting on the fact that she's gonna like you on the first date
because of the car.
Imagine if she doesn't like you and you've taken out a car to see this girl to impress her, and she doesn't even like cars. Maybe she even had an accident in a car and she's got phobia against cars. Oh my days, you're holding your head now.
Yeah, she likes to go on long walks all the time.
She likes to go on walks. Maybe she's against climate change.
Oh, she's against or for, you mean? You mean she's for climate change?
No, she doesn't want the world to burn.
Global warming. You said she's against climate change.
She's against climate changing. She is against it.
So guys, you've just had an insight into Sydney not admitting when he was wrong. She's against climate changing.
Listen.
That is not what you said. Listen. We've got VAR in this, bro. People can say that shit back.
It's fine. They will tell us. They will tell us.
No, but like, so... You just can't do those kind of things, bro. You just can't do that.
But there's...
Do you know what mommy said to me a long time ago? Mommy said to me that... I think it might have been when I got my first car or when I got my second car. And mommy was like, your car doesn't define who you are as a person.
That's right.
And if any woman takes your car as an insight into who you are as a person and what your successes are as you, Teddy Suarez, then you need to run away from that person.
Why do you think mommy said that to you in that moment?
I think I said something stupid like my car is dirty and I need to go and get it washed. And I was going on a first time date with someone and I was like to mommy, I'm quite nervous. I feel like, this is going against me. That's going against me. And one of the things that was going against me was me saying that my car is dirty. And mommy was like, come on. Like, a woman wouldn't even care whether or not you drive or not if you are the right person for that woman.
We should just a content idea. We should test out certain things about what women would care about whilst asking them out for a date. So, you know, maybe you're dressing up as, you know, with holes in your clothes, holes in your trainers, and, you know, really
That'd be a really good idea. Really, can you imagine if I go out as the Teddy I am today and a woman's like, oh my God. And then I go out as
I don't think Teddy she'd be, oh my gosh, you'd be like.
No, all right, bro, Sydney, that wasn't even that funny, bro. So, imagine if I go out. Let me say what I was saying before you interrupted me. I ain't gonna lie, that one, I was over 30%. So, if I'm going out as a Teddy I am today, looking like I've washed, I've showered.
Looking like you washed. Yes.
And looking clean and whatnot. And then going out as a Teddy that is smelling and...
The normal.
No, smelling is a bit too much though. Like hygiene, we don't even need to touch on hygiene, but like looking as like... Yeah, no, you know,
maybe she likes a man older. You never know. It's a good test, a good experiment.
It could be, but like, let's give ourselves a little bit more to work with. Right. So like,
you don't want to be holes in my shoes, right.
Yeah, holes in my shoes, like holes in my shirt, or like maybe like a mustard stain on my shirt.
Yes,
just looking like pretty much just done out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like the two, that would be good.
That'd be good.
That would be good.
We'll see if you still got the riz.
But do you know what's interesting about that though?
What?
Mentally, I don't know how I'd be able to operate in that space.
Like, do you think clothes have a big impact on how you feel about yourself?
Nah, not clothes, but I definitely appreciate my appearance. So like, if I haven't had a trim, for example's sake, I'm just going back to when I was on SAS, and if I hadn't had a trim within... like 2 weeks, let's say, for example's sake. And my beard is now bushy because I haven't got access to clippers. More so my beard, like my grooming is all bushy. I can't wash myself properly and all this kind of stuff. I'm a bit like, like, it's not even about the opposite sex now. It's all about like even just how the next person next to me is perceiving me.
And also like there's also on the other side of it is that you want order in your life. There's something that I came across recently I found quite interesting. I was listening to a podcast where Alex Omozi was talking about people who like to have routines on a day-to-day basis. And
in comparison to people that don't?
In comparison to himself.
Okay.
Who, for example, he can do without the coffee in the morning and still hit his target for the day.
Is he American? Whereas
he is American.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, there are certain people who say, yeah, if I don't have my coffee this morning, then I can't survive. Now my day goes to pot. This happens, that happens. And if I don't meditate this morning, this happens, that happens. If I don't do my shoelaces this way, this happens, that happens. If I don't do this way, this happens. You can go on, right?
Yeah. My head was rattled as you were doing that. But yeah.
There's a pattern though.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he loves those type of people because those are the type of people who can one up. He was like, because I know the moment you don't get that coffee in the morning.
So, that's bad.
No, but it's a good point.
It's how you...
You put yourself through very uncomfortable situations, which made you understand you can survive without a trim now, right? You can survive being smelly because you've done it.
Mm.
And the people...
I wouldn't choose to do
you
that.
Wouldn't yeah, 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 you wouldn't yeah, choose yeah, it, though. You wouldn't choose it. But it's the same as, you know, those stories that I hear, you know, Richard Branson, he's been broke. He's been rich and he's been broke.
Mm.
And he lost everything. He can survive with that mindset because he knows he's got the tools to be rich again.
Do you know what's crazy? Since we went to Australia, not just Australia, but like it was a reminder of I don't necessarily need X amount of money to have happiness. Because I think I said it in the podcast previously, but a lot of people out there don't place a high value on I need a fancy car, I need a fancy watch, or I need a fancy anything. It's just, I'm living right now in a beautiful country. We've got the sun. We've got amazing people around us. And I'm good with my environment. I'm good with me. And that, to me, I also think as you get older, you kind of desensitize yourself from I need a, you know, growing up at, I don't know, it might just be a manly thing. It might just be a male thing. But like growing up and thinking I need a Ferrari, growing up and thinking I need a Lamborghini or whatever, like you desensitize yourself from those things because you actually realize that as you grow up, these aren't necessities in your life. You start growing up thinking, oh, actually I need to speak to my mum more often, or I need to speak to my dad more often, or I need to speak to my siblings more often. Or I need to just connect with people more often. You start placing values on other things as opposed to material things.
Do you think the culture that we grew up in has a huge influence on what we do and what we don't do?
100 million percent. Because I can imagine right now, our little sister, may have grown up thinking, I need to have a large social media following because social media gives you that impression. I need to have a large TikTok following, or I need to have a large Instagram following, or Twitch, or whatever platform the youngsters feel comfortable on, or I need to be really good on Fortnite. Like these kind of things are the values of that generation. Whereas in our generation, it was, I need my football to get slightly better. Like when we're going to the cage and when we're going to the park, because we didn't have phones, we didn't have the access to, iPads didn't even exist in our generation, and we're only 90s babies. Like that sounds mad. But like we're only 90s babies, so iPads and smartphones and smart TVs didn't exist in that era. So we were outside. We were, you know, we were enjoying the actual findings of new things through what we would discover from being outside, and those moments was what we valued. The moments of being in school and actually positioning ourselves with whatever we wanted to position ourselves in, if it was education, if it was athleticism, if it was being a bad boy, like it was those things were what we fixated on. I feel like even Yahoo, oh my God, that's showing our age, Yahoo, Google, and those kind of things, even the search engine wasn't even that prevalent back then. So for us, the world was still quite large. And I feel like with the social media influence, the world has got a lot smaller.
AOL was another one.
AOL was
Bing,
another one.
Bing, is that still about?
Bing was an extension of Yahoo, I want to say, or something like that. So, yeah, and there was Fox. Do you remember Fox?
I remember Fox.
Like all these things. So, so for us, I could never ever compare my upbringing with Charlene's upbringing, which is a 2000 baby. So
millennials,
a millennial or a Gen Z. Yeah, Gen Z.
Oh,
so
we're millennials, I think. Maybe. I don't know. We'll be corrected.
Yeah, someone correct us. Correct us. Mm. We're not that well versed in this. But yeah, so Gen Z, that kind of era, it's like very different from where we were. So hands down, I would definitely say that there is completely different challenges to a lot of the kids and even the future kids, because obviously I don't even know what the statistic is, but like for every minute in a day there's like X amount of hundreds of thousands of millions of babies being born within a minute, right? So like
apparently that number's gone down.
Wow. But for that exact example, like it's very different from even a 10-year gap, like a 10-year, 20-year, 30-year gap. That gap, you would like to think, within our era was a bit more of I would say like a 100 years, at least a decade. Like a decade would
the
be
the gap for what?
The gap for technology and the way that relationships and the way that people tend to grow up and the way that everyone is disciplined was pretty much the same when you look at least the 90s backwards. Everyone was still getting smacked. Everyone was still getting disciplined from either being beaten.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe there are just as many kids being smacked, but people are not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like, in terms of the actual
maybe it has
social,
gone down, yeah.
The social yes. norm of it,
yeah.
Because I'm never going to say abuse is yeah. different from, I don't know enough about it. But in terms of the social day-to-day norms has completely changed from when we hit 2000 onwards.
Yeah, definitely.
It's completely changed.
There was definitely a shift. There was a lot of really good things that you said there. One of the things I wanted to go into a little bit more is the do's and don'ts in relationships. We've talked about some of the things you might do, some of the things you might not do.
Yes.
And now I'm interested to know how you set boundaries in relationships, because it's like you're unhappy about certain things. I'm unhappy about
that's communication, that's, my bro.
Okay.
That's communication.
So just talk, how is that communication? Why is that communication?
I think it swings both ways. It's either one or the other person has to mention their boundaries. And I mean respectfully. I don't mean screaming and shouting. I don't mean, you know, doing it in a way that would display displeasure. Like, I mean genuinely saying, look, you know, I don't appreciate you doing this. I'll give myself up as an example. So I remember once upon a time, I messaged someone whilst I was in a relationship. And to me, this person was just an acquaintance. This person was just someone that I know of. We know of each other. And I messaged them asking them about their Halloween plans, you know. And I think I might have asked this person, you know, are you going to dress up as a devil or an angel? Like, what are you thinking? And I remember the partner I was with at the time was really unhappy about this.
Why do you think your partner at the time would have been unhappy about that question?
The thing that stuck out in my mind was, why do you need to know?
Can I jump in?
You can jump in whenever, yeah, bro. But so, yes.
I'm not your partner. I couldn't even imagine what being your partner would be like.
What do you mean by that, bro?
I'm just saying.
In fact, we won't go into that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Finish your point so we can move swiftly.
Yeah. What I was trying to say was, look, if I was on the other side of that, looking in, I would have been like, oh, so you want to know whether she's wearing an angel's outfit or a devil's outfit? So you're thinking about, I'm just saying, this is what she might be thinking.
Mm.
So you're thinking about what she's wearing right now, and it could be a devil's outfit, or actually, how does that angel's or devil's outfit look like?
I'm not going to lie, I thought you'd be on my side.
I'm on your side.
No, it doesn't seem like it when you're asking them kind of questions.
No, I'm on your side.
No, but you know what?
I'm on your side. I'm just saying this is what that side might be talking about, whilst an innocent question is thrown into the center of the room.
Mm.
How do you understand boundaries? Because that's what the question was about, right? The do's and don'ts in a relationship.
Do you know
what?
You're completely right.
It's boundaries.
And this is the thing. It's that's why the first thing that I said was communication, mm-hmm. because ultimately I'm not a guru. In my mind, I thought asking that question was okay. In my mind, asking where are you going for Halloween was literally to find out a plan about Halloween. What's the plans going on? Because typically, again, me just being real, I don't necessarily tend to celebrate Halloween. But within the last, I'd say 4-5 years, I've wanted to celebrate Halloween. I've wanted to dress up either as a Dracula or Avatar, or like, I've wanted to be more involved because I just think it's out of my comfort zone. I think it'd be interesting and whatnot. So when I asked that question, it was completely innocent. Like, it wasn't I want to know what you're going to look like, because let's be real, bro. Like, if you dress up as an angel or you dress up as the devil, you'd like to think dressing up on a Halloween event or occasion, you're going to look naughty either way. And I'm talking male or female. Like, you're dressing up to kind of look a little bit sexy, or, you know, you're dressing up to just to stand out is the best way to put it. Like, you're dressing up to stand out. So I'm not asking that question to be provocative. I'm asking that question for
good conversation.
No, it's not even making good conversations, bro. Like, I just remember in the time when I asked that question,
mm-hmm.
I was asking that question more so as, I'm going to steal your idea. It wasn't necessarily a question of, how do you look dressed like?
But that wouldn't be a good idea to steal, because you were the halo on your head and wings on your back. I'm not sure.
What do you mean? What?
If you dressed up as an angel, I'm not sure if that would be the right fit for you.
If I dressed up as an angel?
Yeah.
And if you dressed, bro,
but
you mean?
Even if you dressed up as a devil, I can't imagine you with horns in your head either. I think either of those outfits is not a good call. I think Teddy, dressing up as Teddy is the best.
No, that's dead, bro. Come on, what? Just Teddy, just pull up as a fluffy Teddy.
No, just pulling up as you are.
Just not dressing up at all.
That's
not Halloween though, bro.
Maybe God doesn't want you to be part of Halloween, bro. It's the devil's birthday.
Yeah, true. That's why you
haven't been able to celebrate Halloween. Yeah. Maybe it's
no, but I did do sense. The Avatar thing. The Avatar thing was dope.
Yeah, I know, but somebody took you off your path.
What are you trying to say? So are you trying to say I that's a do or don't? Me messaging someone, asking them what they're dressing up as for Halloween?
No, we were talking about do's and don'ts and setting boundaries, right? And whether I agree with that question or not, that doesn't matter.
In fact,
hold on, let me finish.
Okay, go on.
Where I was going to arrive at is that whether I agree with what you did or not, it doesn't matter. What we're trying to understand here is you mentioned communication is the key.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, you understood what the do's and don't and where the boundaries lie in your relationship.
And I learned from that. And this is the thing. That. In fact, I kind of went on the tangent with a story. I knew in that moment after, so as I said, my partner at the time had gone through my phone, found that message, and had a problem with me messaging that person. And at the time, I thought to myself, is this just because I've messaged someone because my partner thinks this person is a good-looking person and this person's really pretty and this person's, you know, an ego thing. It's like this person might be pretty, so I don't like my partner messaging this person. Or is this a situation where genuinely my partner's hearts of hearts, they don't like the fact that I've just messaged another female? So I was trying to find a distinction between the two. And then I got to a point in my mind where I was like, three things now in my mind was, it doesn't matter that she went through my phone. It doesn't matter that this person is displaying jealousy. It doesn't matter whether or not, you know, I think I've just been completely harmless. What matters is I've done something wrong in this person's eyes. So on that basis, I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm going to listen. I'm going to literally take on board the things that make you feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, I'm also going to delicately try and let you know that some of those aspects of what you're talking about is just not that deep. Like, if we're talking about jealousy, you don't need to be jealous. Like, you're the person I come to bed with every single night. You're the person that no matter what happens, like, you are the person, like, you are the number one priority in my life. Like, so when it comes to my mindset towards it, it was like, okay, I've asked this thing and it doesn't make my partner feel uncomfortable. How am I going to react? My reaction in that moment was, I'm no longer going to message females, even if it's someone that I would consider to be.
I think it's one of the beautiful things that you highlighted there is that you are willing to accept when someone sets their boundary, you're willing to accept where that boundary is. And you're willing to accept that in that person's world, it's not it doesn't make it true. But in that person's world, you're wrong. So how can I understand them and do things in a way that doesn't upset them? That's fantastic. One thing that I wanted to also touch on is, okay, so you talk about being able to readjust in a relationship if the boundaries have been set and you don't understand what the relationship's all about readjusting boundaries and setting boundaries and compromise. But one thing I wanted to understand is things go west, things go south on a regular basis, not in relationships in general, in life. Relationships, life, corporate settings, you know, family, everything. So how do you manage conflict in a way where you have certain rules on a day-to-day basis where you're like, nah, you don't do that. You don't do this. I'm thinking about, okay, I look at my mom. You know, my mom, such a wonderful woman. How could I not respect the fact that she puts food on the table for us every day as we're growing up? And, you know, now I'm saying to her these things, and that's not how you should talk to someone who has done so much for you. How can I speak to my girlfriend this way when she has been there for me in my darkest time? So, you know, I could never say that. No matter how angry I am, I could never say that to her, because that's bullshit. How do you understand for yourself what is right and what is wrong when you're angry, and when you feel like someone has done you wrong, when someone's done you dirty, when you feel like I want my one up on them?
I think as you were talking and as you were giving the overall synopsis of your question, like, it was all about understanding for me. And when I say understanding, it's like understanding on every single level. And again, to go deeper, it's, what do I understand about who I'm talking to? What do I understand about my own values, my own core beliefs? So, as an example, if mommy says to me, I've just made you pork and it's taken me all day to make you pork, like a pork joint or whatever, my underlying thing is, I don't eat pork. And it's like, have I ever in any capacity told mommy, I don't eat pork? Yes, I have. Or no, I haven't. If I have, then on that basis, kind of like, it's not going to be that deep, because mommy, I already told you this. Save it, refrigerate it. And, you know, give it to, you know, Charlene or Nunu, her partner.
Or give it to me.
Or give it to you, yes. Because I know you eat pork.
Not on a regular basis.
To be fair, because most of your diet is controlled by me in a narcissistic way. But and I want to hear your opinion on it. But like, I think, like, for the most part, understanding on every level is important, because if I don't understand myself, I'm going to be erratic. Like, anything that goes wrong, my mind is always going to go in motions that is just completely unorganized. Like, it's going to be like, whenever something breaks out, it's like, you're almost like a blind person trying to find your feet and you're trying to find your surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you understand yourself, everything becomes a little bit clearer. It's like, okay, this person's just insulted me. This person's just come at me. Well, I understand this about myself. So it's not that personal. It's not that deep. I don't give a shit. I can choose to ignore it, or I can choose to kind of react. But ultimately, it's a choice, because you understand yourself. If you don't understand yourself, what will be will be. You're either going to react or you're not going to react because you're scared. But ultimately, it's a choice.
The power's in how you respond.
It's a power in how you respond. And I want to know what your opinion is. Like, with what you just asked me, how would you frame your own position?
I think there's when you were talking, there was a few things that you were sparking in my mind, and there's it reminded me of one story from, I can't even remember if it was in Jesus's parables, God forgive me, or somewhere in there in the Bible, but it was somewhere. I'm sorry.
I might know. Tell me the story.
He was like, before you go and judge another man, or before you go and judge another woman, before you go and judge another person, and before you go and remove a speck of dust in their eye, first remove the speck of dust in your eye.
I feel like that came from Grandad. Whether or not that was a parable from Bible or not, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. And what I love in life is that there's always multiple threads from books, from stories, from films, from podcasts, from everything. And everyone points towards their own version of the truth, which is very similar. And what I really love in my own life, my personal experience in life, is that when I see things that point towards something that God has already said and already spoken to, and there's that parable, that story in NLP, there's like whatever rule you're trying to enforce on anyone else, apply that rule to yourself.
Wow. Yes.
So,
yes,
you know, you're setting this boundary for this person. Would you set this boundary for yourself? You say your partner is not allowed to do this thing. Okay, what about when you do it? Okay, I've caught you doing it. What now?
Yeah, there was someone, a friend of mine, that literally said the exact same. Keep the same energy when the roles are reversed.
Keep the same energy when the roles are reversed. And there are... hypocrites, a lot of hypocrites in life. You know, they say, oh, you're not allowed to do that. But mate, I saw you doing that the other day. Shut up. It's true though.
It's very true. So
keep that same energy, right? Mm. Keep that same energy when I pull out the receipts. And also, I'm ready when you pull out the receipts because I want to fail. Because every time you fail, you get closer to success.
Mm.
And it's being ready to say to your partner, being ready to say to your friend, being ready to say to your boss, show me my receipts.
Mm.
Because I understand that I'm not perfect. I understand that every day there is something that I do that's not aligned with your expectations.
Mm.
So how often are you going to check in with your partner and say, how did I fuck up this one?
It's almost like I'm fine with making a mistake.
I'm fine with making a mistake.
I don't want to repeat those mistakes, clearly, but I'm fine with making that first mistake. Let me know what that mistake was, please. You're almost begging them, please, let me know what that mistake was so I can do better. Let me know what that mistake
was. And even take it to a individual level. Ask yourself that question.
Mm.
Why are you doing that on a weekly basis? On a daily basis? Why aren't you journaling? Why aren't you just taking a moment before you go to bed or wake up in the morning or when you're going on your lunch break? You don't have to make an excuse. Just ask yourself, why?
Mm.
Why?
Is that particularly when you feel bad, when you feel good, everything in between? Or when do you ask yourself why? Just for those people that don't necessarily ask themselves why on a day-to-day basis.
I think you should ask yourself the question regardless of how you feel. Because today you will feel good and you will decide to do that thing that you wanted to do because you feel good. But tomorrow you'll feel bad and you don't do it. But how are you going to know the reason why you didn't do it if you didn't ask yourself why?
Mm.
You need to ask yourself the reasons why you don't do something. And then you can ask yourself, okay, when I feel bad, what can I do to make sure I do that thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this could be in respect to the relationships, the friendships, your work, everything that you want to maintain. at the highest level.
Yeah, I love that, because I know in most instances, I've always asked myself why when I feel really low. I ask myself why when I'm always in a place of distaste, and I never really ask myself why when I'm in a good place. When I'm in a good place, I'm celebrating. I'm really happy, and you know, I don't tend to journal those moments. But when I'm in a bad place, I'm quick to jump to a journal and be like, I'm writing this down, or even my iPhone notes. I'll jot this moment down and be like, how do I compartmentalize this? How do I deal with this? You know, I put it there so that I can really zoom out and be like, ah, okay, this moment right now is it's not the one, and I need to really gain some perspective. So these are the kind of questions I'm going to ask my brother. These are the kind of questions I'm going to ask my closest friend, Ignatius, my mum, and then go from there. So I think as a good practice, it'll be really good that me moving forward, hopefully everyone else listening to this as well, not only in your bad moments, but in your good moments as well, write them down. It's an accolade at the end of the day. And on that note, I want to ask you, Sydney Suarez, hit you with your full government. Well, not your full government. People don't know to know
everybody
your
knows
full government. But
you can find
yes,
me,
Sydney.
You want to find me.
What's your act of gratitude for today?
My act of gratitude. It's easy when it's the man upstairs, you know, or the woman upstairs, or they, whoever is making the decision, the spirit, who's decided that we have the space to reflect and to understand why is it that we do the things that we do?
Mm.
Why is it that we set those boundaries? Why is it that we let those people disrespect us? Why is it that we let certain people respect us? Why is it that we show up to certain things and we don't show up to certain things? Why is it that we tune into certain things and we tune into things? Tune out of other things. I love the fact, in fact, I'm so grateful. I am incredibly grateful for the fact that we have the space to talk about, to think about that. Because in our day-to-day lives, when we're running at 100 miles per hour, we don't talk about it.
Mm.
I want to end on that note.
Yeah.
So what are you grateful for?
Oh, I was about to say, I don't get to... I don't get to say what I'm grateful for.
We don't have to end on that. No, I mean, I'm ending my speech.
I don't get to say what I'm grateful for.
I'm ending my dead speech on that.
No.
It's your turn.
I really appreciate what you've just said, but whether or not he likes it or not, I'm saying what I'm grateful for, people. Yeah. No, I'm super grateful for actual life's perspectives, because there's moments that I've had in my life where I haven't had those moments that's been so clear. I've had moments where I'm like, oh, I desperately need to pick up the phone to either you or either mommy and kind of gain clarity. But in those moments where you haven't answered and mommy hasn't answered, and you know, I've curled up into a ball, and I've been able to actually gain some sort of perspective, some sort of clarity, which has allowed me to actually bounce back and allowed me to actually lift my head up and say, actually, I'm going to attack this day. I'm actually really grateful for that, to have the foresight to actually have any kind of perspective. I think that's really what I'm grateful for today.
That's amazing, and amen to that. Thank you all for following us, following our journey, listening to this conversation. We hope you picked up a lot of gems and a lot of insight, and please give us your questions, your quotes, DM myself, DM Teddy. And, you know, we can't wait to hear your feedback and join you all next week.
Yes. And do not forget to like, subscribe, and comment below. Thank you for joining us.